If you've been with us here at Renew over the last few weeks, you know that we've been having some fun. We've actually been going along the theme of Advent, and so in doing that, we've been following different themes. We started with hope, and then we moved to love, joy, and today we're talking about peace. Pastor Merrick was the one who spoke on hope, and then Pastor Barry spoke on love, and we had a great joy message last week from Darcy McCollum. And I want to thank all of those guys. Let's give them a hand, actually, for sharing with us. You can always go back and check those out online if you missed any of them, but I want to thank these guys. It was really a blessing for me to hear them minister to me with some great thoughts. Today, we're wrapping up with the theme of peace. You know, what all of these things have in common that we've looked at is that they all come from God. They all come from God. He's the source of all hope. He is the source of all love. The Bible says God is love. He's the source of true joy. There's a lot of things that we think make us joyful or happy, but he's the source of true joy. And he's also the source of peace. You know, we tend to think of peace as the absence of strife, the absence of worry, the absence of stress and anxiety. That usually is the way that we think of peace. It's like an absence from these things that bother us or pull us down. We describe peace very often as what is left over when all of these things are absent. And I have to say, it's not a bad start. When the staff and I were planning this Christmas Eve service, we said, wouldn't it be nice if we could create sort of like this just 75-minute bubble, right? In the middle of this crazy Christmas season, and I hope you feel it, just to sit here for 75 minutes quiet. In fact, let's just take this all the way. Let's just take 30 seconds. And if you want to bow your head, if you want to close your eyes and just feel the quiet, let's just take 30 seconds and experience the peace of that. Let's do it. Go. See, that's pretty good, eh? Isn't that good? Some of you fell asleep already. It's pretty good. But here's the thing. Even as you sat there in silence, some of you with your eyes closed, there were still things that came into your mind, weren't there? Some of you are thinking about stuff you have to do even tonight when you get back home. Stuff you have to take care of, people that you're worrying about, stuff that's going on in your life, maybe that no one even knows about. But that happens. And here's the problem. And that is, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have trouble. There's always going to be stuff that's just there. It's in our minds. It's weighing us down. It's creating anxiety for us. You know, just before going to the cross, Jesus took some time to comfort the disciples. This actually happened the night that he met with them before he went to the cross. And he explained what the future actually had in store to his disciples. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he actually made this statement. He says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." He was trying to bring peace to them. But then he says, "In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, tribulation, that word there in Greek is thlipsis. It's often translated as trouble. And when you look at the word, it's actually anything that causes a sense of confinement or stress in your life. Jesus said, as long as you're here in this world, you're going to have some of that. It's just the way that it goes down here. And so we can't find our peace by simply avoiding trouble and avoiding stress. And so the world is the first impediment to peace, right? Make note of that. That's the first impediment to peace. It's just the world that we live in. It's always going to push against peace. And what I've come to discover is that the second impediment to peace is myself, right? Now, I'm not saying I am for all of you, I hope not, but you are for you, okay? I'm my biggest impediment. After the world, it's myself. I am the one that keeps myself from having peace. It's my own failures and my own shortcomings. I'm human. I don't always do the things that I want to do. I don't always say the things that I want to say. And I assume that you're pretty much like that too. We have things that we regret. We have things that we would do differently, given the chance. And all of this creates a sense of failure and condemnation inside of us. I feel that. It steals our peace. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus is the solution, guys, to both of these impediments. He's the solution to both. He really is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace that Isaiah the prophet promised 700 years before Christ was born. I had a special opportunity this week on Friday night. My brothers and I were able to take my mom and dad to see Handel's Messiah. How many have ever heard Handel's Messiah at some point in their life? If you haven't, you really should. It's fantastic. It was her 17th birthday, or sorry, the 75th birthday on the 17th of December. My mom's not that young. That would be strange. But she looks great for 75, and she's been battling cancer for the last almost 7 years, so we were really happy to be able to take her. And I still have the music in my head, right, from Handel's Messiah, "For unto us a child is born," and it just keeps going over and over. And look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, from whence that was taken. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and there it is, "Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." I love that statement. "On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Guys, this is why Jesus told his disciples not to worry about the world. He's the Prince of Peace. He had already overcome the world. The Bible says that Jesus is going to return someday, and according to this verse, there will be no end to the increase of his government. That means to the abundance of his rule, the flourishing and goodness of him being our ruler. There'll be no end of that, and there will be no end of peace. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. That's amazing. Promise of the Messiah always came with the promise of peace. Whenever you hear the prophets talk about it, it was always this amazing, peaceful promise. And that's why the angels at Jesus' birth proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Peace. I think that God and the angels are constantly looking at us and seeing how much turmoil and anguish and stress we're in, and they always just want to give us peace. When Jesus came back from the dead and he met with his disciples, three times in John chapter 20, I don't know if you've ever noticed, as he's talking to the disciples three times, he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." I think anytime you go to heaven and then you come back to this planet, the first thing you notice is, man, you guys need more peace, right? Peace be to you. Well, you don't need to worry about this world, guys. Jesus has it under control. But the second impediment to peace, as I said, is ourselves. It's myself. But Jesus has solved that problem as well. Guys, the inside scoop is that Jesus, he was God. And those of us that have studied the Bible, that have attended church, we've learned Jesus was God. The Word became flesh, John said, and made his dwelling among us. John said his life was glorious. He quoted Jesus as saying that if you saw him, you actually saw the Father. When you looked at Jesus' face, you saw the face of God. He was born to be a sacrifice, as the old Christmas carol says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. He wants every one of us to experience a second birth, a spiritual birth, an awakening to God. And as Mary held that baby in her arms, she was staring at the face of God, and she remembered the angel who said that this baby, he would save his people from their sins. You know, even as a kid, I was well aware of my failures and shortcomings. I wasn't very old before I realized that I deserved punishment. At a young age, I was aware that my sin separated me from God. God is holy, and I'm not holy. But I learned this amazing news that Jesus came to die for my shortcomings. The prophet Isaiah talked about that as well. He said it was the chastisement that brought us peace. That's how it's worded. The punishment that fell on Jesus that brought peace to us. And when I was young, I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins. I asked for his blood to pay for my sins, for him to make me just in God's eyes. And guys, I can tell you, if you have never experienced that, it is the key to eternal and internal peace. This is what God wants for you. This is the message of Christmas. This is why Jesus came, so that you could experience that kind of peace. Even in a world that still hasn't found it, you can have it. It's an amazing feeling. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I know that God and I are good. He has become my Father. And when I sin, you know, and I do, I simply confess it to him, and his forgiveness is automatic, as it always should be with a father. When I get focused on the wrong things, I refresh my mind on the words of Jesus. I seek his face again, and I find peace again. Guys, this is an ongoing process. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I was up until 3 a.m. last night, couldn't sleep. I wasn't worried about this message. This doesn't stress me anymore. But there are things in my life that are stressful. There are things I think about, often related to the church and the future of our church. But Jesus reminded me that my struggles serve a purpose. I actually went downstairs and picked up my Bible and said, "Lord, show me something that will give me some peace again tonight so that I can sleep." He took me to the story of Joseph and showed me that even when things are not going the way that you think, that he's got a bigger plan in mind. And so don't lose sight of that. Jesus can refresh that peace for you. He reminded me last night, you know what? Your struggles, they serve a good purpose. I'm preparing you for something in the future. And then I slept well. Guys, the bottom line here is that peace is not found through the absence of trouble. It is found through the presence of Jesus. All right? If you can take one thought with you away from this service today, think about that. Jesus' disciples came to discover this for themselves. You remember the story when their boat was about to sink in a storm and Jesus was there sleeping in the boat? He was showing off for sure, right? They wake him up and they look at Jesus and they see the face of God. He says, "Peace, be still," right? The storm calms. They remember that he was God and they look to him for peace and he calmed the storm. So guys, stop trying to find peace by subtraction and start finding it by addition, right? You're not going to find peace when you get rid of all of these things. You're not going to get rid of all those things. And so you need to add something. You need to add Jesus to the picture. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. And so in 2024, I'm encouraging you, look to Jesus in your trouble. Seek his face. And like Mary, you will be looking at the face of God.
Join us every Sunday at 4 p.m. at 7755 10th Line West in Mississauga. Or visit us online at renewchurch.ca/connect.